There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.
Little Steven's Underground Garage's coolest conversations, presented by Hard Rock Cafe, hosted by the Mighty Manfred.
You got the Mighty Manfred with you in Little Steven's Underground Garage, and it's time for your coolest conversations throwback. Thanks for listening, and please remember to follow and subscribe, rate, and review. Today we go back to Friday, June the 30th, 2017, when I was joined by Ricky Sticks. She plays drums in a number of bands in the Los Angeles area, several of which we feature in the Underground Garage, including the Darts and the 210s. She's also been the touring drummer in the Dolly Rots. We talk about how and when she started playing the traps, the importance of being a drummer in a rock band, how she deals with prejudices against female drummers, as well as taking her dad out on tour. We'll hear some of two tracks that she plays on, including Keep Hope Alive from the 210s, but first, My Heart is a Graveyard from the Darts, and then followed by my interview with Ricky. It's all part of your Coolest Conversations throwback, presented by Hard Rock in Little Steven's Underground Garage.
Today, I'm chatting with Ricky Sticks. She plays drums in a bunch of bands here in the greater Los Angeles area, including several that we feature in the Underground Garage, and Dolly Rots, the Darts, and via Goldie's Garage, the 210s. Hey, Ricky, how are you?
How's it going, Mighty Manfred?
Oh, pretty great, now that I got you on the line with me. So, have you heard any good drummer jokes lately?
Oh, man, bada bing, bada boom. I don't think so. I mean, I know there's a bunch floating around, but, you know, I kind of stay away from the drummer jokes. I just probably end up, you know, getting a little huffy because they're always, like, making fun of us, I think.
Well, why do they make fun of drummers?
Because we're just trying to feed ourselves and we're always probably filling the plate a little too full, maybe. I don't know. We're the last of the bunch to really get anything going, I think. Maybe, I don't know.
It really seems like, you know, a great band with a poor drummer is mediocre, but a poor band with a great drummer, well, that's really good. Why do you think that is?
Because you can really hear when the drummer's not playing great, you know? And no matter how great the guitar player is, if the drummer's not keeping a good time, then the whole band's going to fall apart, you know? It is interesting, and I've come from that era. When I first started, I was not a good drummer. I'll be the first to admit it. And all my bands pretty much sucked, and it was because of me, you know, before when I was working so hard and striving to get better. But yeah, I think the audience hears it the most, you know, that snare is going to cut through more so than ever. And if it's not right there on the 2 and 4 and helping the audience feel the music, you're going to lose it no matter what. You know, it's our job as drummers to make the band feel good. And that's really, really the only goal. So I've been there. I know. I sucked bad when I was growing up. It's okay. It's okay to suck for a while. It doesn't mean you shouldn't get out there and do it, even if you're struggling. I still think everybody's got to suck for a while, you know?
Well, when did you start playing drums?
10 or 15 years ago. I bought a kit, no lessons. I just bought a kit on a whim and wanted to start a band, an all-girl punk band. It was probably, about 15 years ago. I didn't start taking lessons until about 7 years ago, and I just taught myself, you know, listened to a lot of punk rock through headphones and figured out how to set my kit up. I set it up backwards for a long time, and I had a party at my house and they were like, your kit's set up backwards. I didn't know anything about drums, but being self-taught, I think, was good in the beginning. And then eventually you just realize that you still suck and it's time to get better and it's okay. And, you know, I played in bands and I could play a punk beat pretty good, but then it was like, I want to branch out and try new stuff. I was in a bluegrass band that had a drummer. Ironically, most traditional bluegrass bands don't have a drummer. And right. I got to play a lot of like swing type stuff. It was cool. And a broken down kit with like brushes, and you kind of start branching out. And I've been playing longer than I've been doing anything else. It's something that I love more than anything. And just recently took off from a career to go play drums. I finally felt confident enough to be able to actually say, hey, I don't suck. I should go on tour. So yeah, it's been a great journey for sure. The last 15 years and the last 2 years have been the best 2 years of my life for sure. No doubt.
So you said you bought the kit on a whim. You didn't have any interest in playing a different instrument? I mean, is that the only instrument you've ever played?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. There was this boy group, their punk rock band that I was friends with all in, I'd watch the drummer and I was just like, I could do that. I saw him and I was like, I'm such a visual learner. You know, it's hard to be a visual learner when you're playing guitar. You have to really be taught by ear. And I was such a visual learner and I could dance, you know, I loved dancing growing up. And, come to find out when I picked the drums, my grandmother was a timpanist in the orchestra. And I didn't know that until after. I was like, hey, Mom, I'm getting a drum set, you know. And this girl, Chrissy, who wanted to start a band, she was like, you know, I'll buy half your kit. So I bought like a Pearl Export, I think, or one of the lower series kits with my graduation money. My mom was like, really? They never cared. They loved it. And I brought a kit home and just started playing it by myself, just trying to figure stuff out. And I just love the drums. And I didn't realize like the stigma behind a female drummer until way later, because I grew up in a small town. So there, I had no idea that it was such a, you know, rarity is when I first started. I mean, now it's way more common, but I had no idea like that it was such a stigma and, you know, that it was the thing. And so it was kind of cool. Like when I branched out, it was like, oh, you know, I just figured all women would play drums. And now I just know so many women that do. It's cool. You know, I'm doing a camp this summer with just all females and we're just going to learn and study drums together. It's going to be awesome. So yeah, just decided that's what I was going to do. I could watch a drummer and I'm like, that's it. I got it. And when I first sat down on a kit, I could actually play like just a decent beat, you know, like the real simple stuff. So it was like, this is what I'm supposed to do. This is who I'm supposed to be. It was cool.
You mentioned not being aware of this stigma about a female drummer. What is that stigma? And when was the first time you became aware of that? You said you didn't when you were in the small town, but was there a specific instance where you remember like, oh, I totally don't get this?
Right. It wasn't until I joined my first real band where we started playing out. It was this band called Hate Kate. It was all females. Still best friends with a couple of the girls today. They're amazing. But we would start playing out and, you know, I'd be loading in and the guys couldn't believe that I was the drummer. And it was like I had something to prove. I'm like, why don't you believe that I'm the drummer? And they just had never seen it. And I'd have people come up to me and they'd be like, I've never seen a female drummer before. I was so perplexed. I was like, why? This is just seems so natural to me that this would be a thing. And then, you know, it wasn't until people just started pointing it out. You know, there's a couple, you know, Gina Shock and Sandy West, and there was a couple female drummers, but there really wasn't a whole lot of female drummers that were in well-known bands. Maybe in the underground scene, like what we were doing, maybe there was more, but as far as like the bands that were getting radio play, it just, there wasn't a lot of female drummers in those bands, I think. And so, you know, maybe they weren't seeing it on TV or hearing it on the radio, or it just wasn't getting talked about. But I just felt like it was a natural thing. So when people were pointing it out, I was like, really? So then you start researching and, you know, now it's just so much more common. But, you know, 15 years ago, you're like, wow, this is cool.
I mentioned that you play in several bands that we featured in the Underground Garage, and now I'm thinking, well, I left one off that list. It's a band that since split up, Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and their lineup also featured this guy I refer to as the Zelig of rock and roll, and that is our very own Speedy John, because he always turns up and stuff when you least expect it. I mention him because he co-wrote that Darts track that we took a listen to, My Heart is a Graveyard, and it's the opening cut to the Darts second EP, a 10-inch. It's available from Dirty Water Records, and this is the newest Darts release, right? This 10-inch, the second one?
It is. That's the newest one that's out, and then there's another one coming out like mid-September. But yeah, and John wrote another song on that as well. He's written two bass lines that have turned into songs that have been probably our best songs and our lead songs on the last release, and then one coming up on the new release as well. So yeah, John and I have played together, he's been such a big support for me, and I just, you know, as far as good people in the world that just love and support music, John is one of those people, so it was an honor to play with them and get to rock with them, and I had seen them, you know, him and Laura and other bands as well, and finally it was like, we need to start a band, we need to do this, and yeah, and now he's a DJ for you guys, so it's awesome. Yeah, John loves and supports the Darts, and 210s too. He comes out to all the shows locally in LA. It's cool.
Well, the band, the Darts, is not playing tonight, but next Friday, July the 7th, in Phoenix at the Crescent Ballroom. And I know that the Darts recently toured in Europe, and you've been doing shows all over the States, and you got this new EP out. Have the Darts been together even 2 years yet?
Yeah, it's been about a year and a half. I think we started recording last March. Ish, maybe last February. And I mean, I can barely keep up with these women. I mean, they're just kicking so much butt. It's awesome. And it was kind of a mistake, man, for how we got together. I'm sure Nicole talked about it when you interviewed her. But we just got together to record two songs just more for fun because we had mutual respect for each other. And we all live in different cities. And the recording process was very unique because I would record drums from a demo and then they would layer their stuff. And it just became kind of magical. And all of a sudden, we have a band name, and then we have shows booked, and now we're flying here, we're going there, we booked a January tour, we went to Europe. I'll tell you what, this last Europe tour was probably my most favorite tour I've ever been on, and I've had some fantastic tours, and this last tour was incredible. Like, the girls are just so much fun. All they want to do is just explore every city, have a blast on stage. The songs are awesome. The energy is great. We got super lucky. We played some killer shows. I don't know. It's kind of just working, like really working. And it's been a good ride. But yeah, I mean, Nicole's, she's just crazy when she writes songs. She just gets on this inspiration streak, and I can barely keep up with them. We're going to have two releases in September, and then, yeah, it'll be a little over a year and a half from when we started the band. And we live in different cities. It's not like, you know, we're living in the same household just writing music and practicing all the time, you know? And we fly in. It's like you fly in day of show, and you play a show, no rehearsal. So it's pro. I mean, these girls are pro. Michelle, the great. I mean, Christine is probably the best bass player I've ever played. Sorry, John. But I mean, she is just incredible. Her timing is incredible. It's awesome. I love it. It's a really good combination, man. We're kicking it.
Oh yeah, exactly. Haven't even been together 2 years yet. All these recordings, all this touring. So what do you do about your commitments to other bands? I mean, if the Darts are really taken off, how do you deal with those bands?
Well, the 210s, that's my band with Adam. And that's my baby. I will never leave that band. Adam and I will be 30 years thick and still be playing 210s. I have a commitment to that band that goes super deep just because that's my baby. And it's just Adam and I, you know, we can never sub. And the Darts have subbed me out just because of other commitments. And, you know, I was trying to make a living as a drummer. And so you have to, unfortunately, sometimes make big decisions where you get offered a tour versus a single day, and you have to take the tour because you're a touring musician and playing with the Dolly Rots. But I just, you know, I'm transparent when I communicate with the bands, and everybody knows my commitments. You know, Nicole knew my commitments before we started, and you just do the best you can. You know, sometimes you can't make everybody happy, and you know, it's tough, but I think as long as you're communicating with everybody and everybody knows your intentions. My goal as a drummer, though, is if I commit to something, I follow through with it. And if I need to change something up, I do whatever I can to make sure everybody's happy. And that's really how I've been able to make it work. You know, I'm flying out next weekend to go play with Alice Bag to Texas. You know, I'm just a sub for her, you know, so I can kind of fill in with certain bands around my two main projects. But yeah, no, I mean, everybody I work with is super pro. Everybody I work with, I consider best friends, which could be dangerous in a situation maybe, but they're also family, you know? And so, you know, Lewis and Kelly from the Dolly Rots are the best people ever. And they've taught me so much. And without them, the 210s wouldn't have done what we've done. You know, like we're playing on the 8th after the Crescent Ballroom show, we're playing on the 8th and I'm playing with 210s and the Darts together at the same time. And 210s just did a tour with the Dolly Rots where I played double duty. So I think everybody is really working together. It's more of a community versus this band against this band and everybody's competing for a drummer. It's more like, hey, let's work together and make this like a thing, you know, like everybody wants to build together, which is cool. I got pretty lucky. And it's going to be a little bit more challenging next year just because I'm going to go back to teaching. So they're going to let me tour and teach. I get the best of both worlds, Manfred. I can't believe it.
Oh, and what is it that you're teaching?
I'm going to be teaching a sports medicine class at a high school next year, but I'm going to co-teach with another girl. And so whenever I need to take off to tour, they're going to find me a really good replacement sub. So I get the best of both worlds. I can't even believe it.
Wow. Congratulations. Yeah. For that. Now, you mentioned the Dolly Rots here a couple of times. Let's talk about them because you play with it as a touring member of the Dolly Rots, right?
Correct. Yep.
And how did you hook up with them?
Well, it was a couple years back, and you know, I think it was just one of those gut intuition type things, for lack of a better word. I was online, and I'm a fan of the Dolly Rots. I follow them, and something came through my feed, and I was like, I need to be in this band. And I just wrote Kelly a message on Facebook, and apparently she never checks her messages ever on Facebook, but she happened to just check the message that day, and it was interesting, I guess, that they had just lost their drummer, their touring drummer, that day, and they were like, we better find a drummer. And so I guess my timing, bada bing, is good. And it was just right place at right time. And I had met them a few years back. We had played a show with them and, you know, got to talking. And I just loved who they were. I loved their music. And I felt like just who I was as a drummer fit well with them. So I took a chance, as everybody should. And she responded favorably. And she said, actually, we need a drummer for this run. Can you do it? And they flew me out to Texas. And we had one rehearsal. And I jumped on a tour. It was awesome. It was a great experience. Like I said before, they taught us so much. Like, they taught us how to do a pledge campaign. We were able to fundraise for our album. And Lewis is probably one of the best in the business as far as music business goes. He's one of the best. He's got such a great brain for that. And he's taught us a lot. So I'm super grateful for them. They've really changed me as a musician for sure.
Well, so let me ask you here. Their latest albums, Whiplash, Splash, it came out earlier this year in March. You're not on any of those recordings. Will you be? Do you think you'll ever be recording with them, or is that they kind of keep to their themselves about how they?
Right. Yeah. They do it a little bit different in the studio. I'm not going to give up any of their studio tricks. You could probably dive pretty deep into that. But I did record their live album DVD, which was fantastic. So they took basically the best of all their last five albums that they did, or four albums that they did. And we just did like a best hits live DVD. And so it was one shot, one night at the Roxy. And we did it. We filmed it and we recorded it. And so talk about pressure. I mean, you show up, it's like everything's got to be perfect. All the sounds got to be perfect. And it was a great experience for me. Everything was from the tour was leading up to that night. Plus they, you know, they pledged it. So they had already like sold all the albums already beforehand. And like, you have that one chance, you know, to get it right. And I'm super proud of that DVD and super proud of the recording. So the sounds were great. Everybody that worked on it, edited, you know, it was pro. So it was a great opportunity for me, you know. I mean, the Dolly Rots are Kelly and Lewis, and you know, and they hire out for what they need, and I'm just lucky to be the touring drummer. It's been amazing. So
man, you've had what a great career in the last couple of years, even. But drumming seems to bleed over to your personal relationships, too, because you're married to Dusty Watson, the drummer in the Sonics, right?
Yeah. Yeah, talk about a household of rhythm.
Did you go out with other drummers before him, or was it like love at first cymbal crash?
Yeah. You know, I was always attracted to musicians, always have been. Never to drummers, really, but something special. There was really definitely something special about Dusty. I saw him play with Dick Dale like years before we actually hung out and met. And then my band was supposed to open for his band for Agent Orange when he was playing with Agent Orange. And it didn't happen. We still ended up talking that night, and he had some elbow problems. And you know, I have a history of an education in sports medicine. So I started helping him with his elbows. And then he started sending me drum heads. And then lo and behold, and he's been such a great supporter for me to leave my career in teaching and to venture out into the world of touring. I mean, if anybody knows how hard it is to have your significant other and your husband or your wife away, the fact that he's just like, this is what you should do. He should go be a drummer. Like, you're ready. Just go do it. And it's awesome to, I'm pretty lucky. You know, Dusty's been endorsed and I get to play all the cool stuff. You know, I walk in and I'm like, hey, babe, you know that Black Beauty Ludwig snare? I'm going to steal it for 2 years and probably not give it back. And he's all about it. We love it. And we like talk drums and, you know, play drums. We played drums on our wedding. We walked in instead of doing the first dance that you do it, like most people do when they get married. We walked in and we had two matching drum sets and we sat down and we played together. It was awesome.
Well, so he's very supportive of that. What advice can you turn around and share to folks about how to maintain a relationship with a touring musician, being one yourself?
You know, I think you just have to have a lot of trust, and you also have to understand that if it's your significant other, that they're doing something that they love. And if they're doing something that they love, they're going to be more happy and they're going to spread that happiness and that love back to you. So I think that that's probably the best, because if you have someone in your life and you're with that person as a partner, you want to always support whatever makes them the happiest. And if that's being out on the road playing music, which for some of us it is, and it's a kind of an addiction. It's part of who we are. To have that support, I mean, I think it just comes back, you know. Because then I'll tell you what, I supported Dusty when I was working, and it was hard, but I always supported him being out on the road. I never would have wanted him to come off the road, and I always wanted him to play drums and do whatever he wanted. And then when it was time for me to do that, he supported me. So, you know, I think that it's always a two-way street, and it's been awesome 2 years, best 2 years of my life, for sure, no doubt.
Now, I want to ask you, maybe I have this wrong, I'm not thinking of this right. So since we're talking about sort of relationships and family things, did your father go out on tour with one of your bands recently, or who's?
Which
group was it?
It was when the Two Chains and Dolly Roth went out together. And I was like, man, if I'm going to be playing double duty and it's just Adam and I with the Dolly Roth, we should probably get someone to drive because I'm going to be exhausted. And so I thought, who better than my dad? My dad loves to drive. He loves to travel around. And I just bought this new 15-passenger. Well, it's not brand new, but this 15-passenger van. I called him and I was like, Dad, you want to go on tour? And he was like, absolutely. And he loved it so much. In fact, he wants to go again. He's like, I'll drive anything, a bus with a trailer, RV, I don't care. He loved it so much. And Lewis actually ended up giving him his guitar. Not only was my dad the driver, but he watched because the Dolly Roth's tour with their babies, he watched the babies and he loaded in, loaded out every single night, watched the whole show every single night. And I mean, he literally worked harder than any, he worked harder than me and I played double duty. So, and it was great. Like he got along, like everybody just fell in love with him. So, and I knew they would because he's a badass for sure.
Well, you mentioned Adam here a couple of times, and let's make sure people understand again that Adam is the other half of the Two Tens, and you guys as a Two Tens, a duo, you've been featured on Goldie's Garage here in the Underground Garage. Now, before you and Adam played as a Two Tens, you were part of his all-female backing band. Am I remembering that right?
That's correct. Yeah. So Adam had a solo project and he was managed by Knitting Factory at the time and decided that he wanted to have an all-female backing band. And Bruce knew Dusty. And then Bruce ended up knowing that I, you know, being a female drummer, hey, would you want to be a drummer for this cat named Adam Bone? And I checked out his music and I fell in love with it. And he's probably one of the best songwriters I've ever had an opportunity to work with. And so we did that for about a year. And right. then he was like, you know what? I just want to do a project, just you and me. Like, start fresh. It's ours. It's equal. It's 50-50. It's just a two-piece. Like, and at first I was like, I don't know if I could play without a bass player. Like, that's a lot of pressure as a drummer, you know? And he's like, I have some ideas. It's going to sound like we have a bass player. It's going to be huge. And I have some songs that I've already written for the project. And he took me out to his car and he played a few demos. And I was like, yes, this is it. Like, this is, it was like my end all be all. In fact, the 210s are the reason why I quit my job. Like, I love this band. I don't know. Like, when we started playing, it was just like the music, how easy it was. I mean, granted, you're in a two-piece, so it's super easy. Adam and I work so well together. You know, we have the same goals. We want the same things out of our music, and mm-hmm. we have like the same energy on stage. So it just really worked.
About it working, is being in a duo more difficult, or is it easier than other bands?
It's so much easier.
What makes it easier?
It's just you know. We don't have to make a lot of decisions and work around a lot of, you know, other people's opinions, and we don't have to work around a lot of schedules. Like, Adam works for Knitting Factory, and so he's the takeoff, and it's like, hey, Adam, want to go on tour with the Dolly Rod? Yep. Okay, let's go. You know, we don't have to like contemplate a lot of things, and you know, our music is just so easy. And when we write together, it's just super easy. Like, he'll come up with stuff, and then we just get together in a room and make demos, and like, our writing process is easier. And it's equal, because you know, when you're in a band with four people, a lot of times one person has to kind of be the leader, and the other people kind of have to just, you know, I don't know, we make every decision, like, everything gets run through both of us. And so you just feel, if you know, as a drummer, sometimes your band doesn't feel like yours because you're just the drummer. I hate to say that, but you know, Adam was like, no, I want this to be 100% equal. And it just made, it really made me find ownership in a band for the first time ever, where it was like, you know, creative control. You know, you can come up with the artwork and you can come up with, you know, just everything about it. It's been a really great and fun and learning process for me, you know, because the business side of things, I hadn't really had to ever think about, you know. I just worried about, you know, playing the show and learning the songs, you know, or writing the songs. It wasn't like more. So now I'm it's, the decision making goes a lot more deep with this band. So I'm loving it.
Next Thursday, that's July the 6th, you'll be playing the Hi-Hat in Los Angeles in Highland Park. Did I read this right? Is this the 6th year anniversary show?
I think it's the Badass Band's, the six year anniversary show. And they're going to be doing some filming too. So we'll have it documented, and we're going to be playing some new songs from the record that's going to be coming out in August. I think we're going to play like 4 new songs just to kind of give everybody a little sneak peek. But yeah, our new record is probably the record that I'm most proud of that I've ever done. So we really cool opportunities. We went and did some songs with John Fields, who also works with Dolly Rots. He also works with Andrew WK and a few other really well-known bands. And so we had him on our side, and just the songwriting, just, it's on another level. So we're pretty stoked about it. So that's coming out in August. But yeah, we're gonna film some stuff at that show.
Right. So then the latest single is Keeping Hope Alive. Is that going to be featured on this upcoming album that comes out in August?
Yep. So we did a pre-release with that just to pair it with an EP, more so just for a vinyl 7-inch. Mm-hmm. And that was one of the first songs that we did with John Fields, and just one of our songs that we loved. But yeah, it's definitely going to be on the next album, along with a few others that we're really pushing. So.
And so you mentioned you're writing with Adam and you guys are working together. So did you have a lot of input in arranging and writing Keeping Hope Alive?
You know, Adam is the genius behind our songwriting, and he will come, he'll come with me with a demo and no drums or anything. And then what we'll do is we'll fine tune from there. As far as the Keeping Hope song, me personally, I think that the song was pretty much, the arrangement was pretty much there, just the drums, you know, but Adam and I work on drums together. We work on, you know, the harmonies together, any starts and stops. But yeah, that was one that it was interesting because Adam, he writes more, you know, punk rock, more kind of first love song that he wrote for this band. And so it's unique in that it's more of a poppy song for us. But yeah, we love it, for sure.
Well, really cool tune. And Ricky, I have to thank you so much for speaking with me today on our Coolest Conversations.
Well, thank you, Mighty Manfred.
Hey, let's take a listen now. It's the latest single from the 2-10s, Keeping Hope Alive, and Little Stevens Underground Garage.
From the first time that I saw you there, you made me smile, and I just couldn't hold back my laughter. Cause there's something special about you. I wanna look into your eyes forever. My heart is bleeding for a chance with you.
There's a place in New York where you can walk through the actual front doors of the world's most famous recording studio, Abbey Road. Through those doors, past the Beatles, Pink Floyd, Radiohead, and countless other rock giants. Where can you find those doors? At the Hard Rock Cafe Times Square. The Abbey Road doors and thousands of other priceless pieces of rock history can be found at Hard Rock Cafes, Hard Rock Casinos, and Hard Rock Hotels around the world. To learn more, visit hardrock.com.